Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain, rain with the harmony, oh, let it be, let our rejoicing rise high, loud as the Georgia. God of our weary years, God of our solitaries, thou who has brought us this far.
Hey, the Motor City is burning. That ain't right. 1960, hey, the Motor City is burning, y'all. of the Lorraine Motel. Shots rang out. Yes, it was a gun. He was the only one to fall down, y'all. That ain't right. Then his people scream. Ain't no need for sunlight. Ain't no need for moonlight. Ain't no need for streetlight. 'Cause it's burning real bright. Some folks say we gon' fight. 'Cause this here thing just ain't right. 1960 what? 1960 who? 1960 what? 1960 who? 19... Hey! The Motor City is burning, y'all. With three pieces of black licorice in his hand, y'all. Mr. Policeman thought it was a gun, thought it was the one. Shot him down, y'all. That ain't right. Then his mama screamed, ain't no need for sunlight. Ain't no need for moonlight. Ain't no need for streetlight. 'Cause it's burning real bright. Some folks say we gon' fight. 'Cause this here thing just ain't right. 1960 what? 1960 who? 1960 what? 1960 who? 19... Hey! The Motor City's burning!
Hey, 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 good morning, good morning, good morning, good Saturday morning. This is the Jimmy Lee Underground Radio Network. We're going to try to get these shows up and running at 6 because, you know, Ebony be in the studio and things be kind of backing out. Right now we're waiting on Ms. Tillman to come into the building. And she should be in a second, so until then, let me go ahead and just play something to prevent dead air from being on the air. She'll be back after the music. Don't forget tomorrow, Sunday, Martin Luther King's birthday. And if you're available in Chicago, you can come hang out with the Martin Luther King Republicans at Trump Tower as we endorse Donald Trump and celebrate 15 years of our organization. All right.
Good morning, evening, friends. Here's your friendly announcer. I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about. your joy and laughter to tears and pain. Is that song in need of love today? Don't delay, then you're then right away. Hey, born now,
How can I help my daughter with her reading?
Searching for help with Dachshund Reading.
How can I help my daughter with her reading?
Information on hot water heating.
No, Sarah's bright, but when she's reading, she has trouble sounding out the words.
World music, playing track now.
No,
let me try. Our daughter gets confused about which details in a story are important.
Hello, Jesus. Jesus, children. Jesus loves you. Jesus, children. Hello, children. Jesus loves you, love America. Are you hearing what he's saying? Are you feeling what you're praying? Are you healing faith, feeling what you say inside?
You said I'm telling your story, and if you like it, it will come to pass.
Your story's bad, and if you lie, 55 in Montgomery, Alabama at the Holtree Baptist Church. I think we made that decision that we would rather die. And we went on from there to others. Today is a very special day for you and for me. It's really special for me because knowing the man, and not just Dr. King, but all of the people who work with him, you know, it never seems to amaze me. Even some of the folks who work with Dr. King, they like to call him Martin. Like they on the same, and I don't think they on even playing field with him. I'm sorry, I don't care who they are. First of all, they didn't give their life. They didn't see the spiritual awakeness and what they went through. Martin this and Martin that, and then, you know, somebody make them big. They don't understand how small that make them look to not only our community, but to the children. MLK, even some of our people have gotten to that MLK day. It ain't no MLK. It's Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. And one of the reasons they don't want to us to keep talking about Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. is because they don't really want our people, especially the young folks, to understand how we leaned on God, how we was like soldiers in the army, and how we really believed and what we believed God was going to take us. You know, there was a spiritual thing about that. And that's why my granddaughter just went back to school, and I to college, and my other, Jamoki, y'all hear me talking about her all the time. And the last thing I wrote, she texted me and said, I made it, Grand. I said, don't forget, you're not alone. You're never alone. It's always you and God. And I tell my children and my grandchildren this. Why is it? So that when they get in a situation, they don't have to freak out to think that it's just them. It's always you and God, because God created the universe, but he made man. And since we are made in his image, God made you. So don't ever get all scared. But if they move people off of the spiritual thing and off of the God thing and not let you know all of the benefits that black folks are enjoying now, even the inventions, even the hospitals, even some of the schools, all of those things were men of God. But the devil don't want you to know that. I just want to make sure that we talk about that. And don't tell me about that. Oh, MLK Day. You know, sometimes we just fall into, I call it the Pablo, whatever people tell us, we believe it. There's some people you thought or think got independent thinking. They ain't got independent thinking. They get brainwashed. And they are brainwashed. Because they, too, have this thing. I got some friends. Martin. Well, you know, he didn't do it out. No, he didn't. But you joined his movement. He didn't join yours. God called him to do what he had to do in Montgomery. when God sent him to Montgomery to lead that movement. Then you came on later. And to call him Martin, you'll find out when my guests come on from Atlanta. I don't know, Jesse live in Atlanta, New Orleans. Now, but I think he's still living. I got his number still. But you're going to find out he's going to say, Dr. King. We said Dr. King with such reverence because we believed in what the movement was and how God was leading him. But if you look at all of it, it wasn't just Dr. King. It was most of our folks who was ministers who were leading us, and we didn't mind being led by a minister. Folks, can't no minister lead me? That's why your ass is in hell and doing going through problems. When I think about last week, I showed y'all the Bell Street Baptist Church, and one of the people from Montgomery, Elsa, called in from McGowan Street and named some of the other churches and some of the other bombing. Those was ministers who gave us some moral authority and something to hold on to. You know, that's why I call ourselves soldiers and all the other stuff in the army of the Lord. You know, and we have to go back. So don't tell, this ain't no MLK Day. And I look at the news this morning, the black folks. Well, it's MLK Day. Some of the black people who sitting up there being anchors wouldn't understand without the fight or the struggle with Dr. Martin Luther King and others who worked with him, the Jim Bevels and all the folks, you wouldn't be sitting there. Because they didn't allow you to sit there. You wouldn't be on the football field or the baseball field or basketball or in these corporations and all the stuff. You wouldn't be doing it. Why wouldn't you be doing it? Because Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and other ministers, people who was a believer, only those who believe in God can make change, trust me. And if they don't, they do destructive things. Today I'm going to play something for you during this hour, during the first hour. 7 o'clock, I'm going to bring on J.T. Johnson. I'm so excited. I had a good time talking to him last night. See, y'all, like, even, I think, Wednesday, I talked to Lynn Adler. She's in California now. And Lynn Adler was, She was part of our staff with Bevel, the direct action. And, you know, we were talking, and she had told me Charlie Lovett passed, and it hurt me so bad because I was trying to find Charlie. I wanted to talk to him and get some pictures he got of our traveling. But when she told me that he had passed, it hurt me. And it hurt because, like Lynn said, we have a bond that will always keep us all together wherever we are because of what we went through and what we was willing to die for. And talking to JT last night was such a good feeling after going through some changes with some other folks. But it was such a good feeling talking to JT, and we reminiscing about our traveling and things we did as field staff organizers and how we would always be one. When I have JT on, you remember I told you SCLC had really structure. That's why you can't win anything or do anything without structure. We got God without structure. You got to have that. So in our structure in SCLC, you had the board of directors. You had the board. You had Dr. King, but you had second field secretaries who was responsible for certain things. Well, I was on the Bevel, Jim Bevel, the great James Bevel, who changed this country. And it was very close to Dr. King. And JT was under Jose. And we all had different things that we did. And we were really talking about our Northern tour that we did with Dr. King. We're going to talk about it when he get on. There's a lot of things we talked about, and we're going to be getting into it. We were just talking about how he told me Cleo had to pass, and we was just thinking about how it's not that many of us who was part of the organizing that's alive now. And it was just kind of touching. And to hear JT said, Dr. King. Now, that's when you know the respect, and it was feels that. Anybody you hear them, Martin and this and that, they want to be him. Or they think, he's a man like me. I'm on the same, you and I on the same plane with him. And somehow they think they lift him up. But one of the things I want to tell you is the organizing of the Montgomery bus boycott. All the people who was involved in it. And all the people, ministers and stuff. My pastor, Reverend Fields, Uriah Fields of the Bell Street Baptist Church, was one of the ministers that E.D. Nixon called. E.D. Nixon played a major role. You don't hear E.D. Nixon's name talk too much. And as they organized to begin to deal with this problem, you had them to get together and to put together an organization, because you got to have structure. That's what folks will understand. My pastor was the recording secretary. A lot of folks was in there. And I'm going to get into before, because I'm going to play you something that's 15 minutes long in a minute. When they was organized, recording secretary, and then you had Abernathy, and don't forget E.D. Nixon, Gray, who was an attorney. You had a bunch of folks came together. Who decided that they were going to put together an organization so they could deal with what had happened to Mrs. Parks, thanks to E.D. Nixon. Reverend Hutchison, there was a lot of different ministers who was part of it. Well, I always talk about my minister was the recording secretary. Then you had the other secretaries, and he and King kind of had a few problems. You know, he's both of them young. We had a young group. And he did, I have to say, he went to the church and asked for forgiveness. But you got to understand, the first thing they did was come together and they put together an organization. And they voted on things, what to do. But when they selected Dr. King to be his leader. Well, the question remained, how do we come up with the MIA, Montgomery Improvement Association? I think Abernathy said that, you know, rather than to deal with denominations, that they would come up with a name, the MIA, the Montgomery Improvement Association. And that's how you got the MIA. Now, keep in mind that Joanne Robinson, who was at the Chicago State, and so they had a women's group. That's what y'all understand. See, the women always was organized and had stuff, and they did stuff. So the women group, the council, I can't remember the women group name, the council, whatever the Negro women, whatever the women was. And they got together, and they decided they was going to boycott. They really the one called the boycott. And Joanne Robinson on her mammograph machine. Joanne Robinson started turning out them leaflets. I remember them leaflets going all over Montgomery. They put it on folks' mind that we're going to have to do something here. We're going to boycott to start getting folks ready for it. And the children, we all passed our flyers. See, one thing about our movement, even our church is doing that. I can't talk too long because I got a tape to play for y'all. Let me know when it's time for me to, let me know when it's time for me to put my tape on. Don't let me talk past that. I got a 15-minute tape I'm going to play for y'all this hour. But children was not left at home. We weren't put in the children's church. We weren't left at home. Now, what was so funny is that I sit up in the church and hear my pastor talking stuff that helped strengthen me both spiritually and also to want to fight and to understand who I was. Even when we had parties, children be in the yard dancing and jumping around while the parents, grown folks doing other things. Children was almost an important part of everything we did. And, you know, when you go to Africa or you go to some of the events, then you see, understand why we was like that. In Africa, they always take children be dancing around. that was always taking the children so they could grow. We had intergenerational, and we're going to talk about that later on in terms of even with our movement, you know, intergenerational. I never had no problem with my grandmother, any of the older people. They took us and they groomed us and they taught us. They weren't grooming us for this sex stuff these folks do. They groomed us for movement for black people. You know, when you think about Mrs. Parks that y'all know, and those of us from Montgomery knew Mrs. Parks, and you think about Johnny Carr, all of the women who groomed us, and the men would be grooming the boys, even though the boys would beat us too, but the grooming that was done in terms of letting us know who we were. They're telling children now, and you can't do that, you're too dumb. Or you can't do this. And just leaving them for somebody else to guide and direct them who have no God in them. We said, what's wrong with our children? Well, y'all don't turn them over to the devil. And you're not fighting for them. If my parents had been involved in the Montgomery Bus Boycott, I don't know where I would have been. I remember the whole community was talking about, well, should we go, should we not go, what are we going to do, how are we going to do this? And I remember my grandmother, my dad, all down on McGowan Street, Mr. Smith, I remember him and all of them, they said they would get involved. Now, I said to myself, if people in the community I grew up had not gotten involved, what kind of person would I be today? Because when Mrs. Park refused to give her seat, get up for a white man, I understood exactly why. As a little girl, and I got to go in a minute because I got to play this tape. As a little girl, I always wanted to sit in the front of the bus. You get on the bus, put your money in, go to the back. And my grandmother, who always took me everywhere she went, we'd be going on this place called Red Bell because she'd fix the sandwiches and stuff so we'd have to sit, go to that old nasty window to get food downtown. Black folks could cook, but they couldn't come in and sit down. And I said, I don't like this. I'll do something about this. I was a mafia all the time. But it's, I know you will, baby. So when Mrs. Park refused to give her seat up, most of us understood why. Because, you know, I rode the Day Street bus. And even when they came around Greyhound Street and get to up there on Day Street, you know, we still had to sit behind that, you know, the second seat, those, I got to go now, I think. You watching the clock? I got to go? Okay, now. In 2 minutes, okay. Even with that, I knew that you put your money in and go to the back. And I didn't like that. And little white girls be on their seat. And I was cleaner than they was, patting leather shoes, shining, my hair all done. Grandmother be on, my auntie Elsa, someone be on, straighten my hair so good, burnt my head, ribbon on my hair. But when the sun hit my head, it was burning. Because they use that charcoal soul to do it. But that's a whole other story. Y'all can listen tomorrow if you want to hear it all, because I will be doing some things tomorrow, which I'll tell y'all about later. But anyway, so I understood when she refused to give her seat. She refused to give her seat, and it was for us. So I'm going to have to get ready, because I want to have a few minutes on the other end of Rosa Parks. But I just want to tell y'all some of it about it. On with Christian soldiers. I mean, we are soldiers in the army. That's one of the songs they had, and these are the songs I'm going to present to y'all today. That speech of Dr. King at the Ho Tree Baptist Church, December 5th. Go start it now. At the Ho Tree Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. And I think that's when I got baptized. And it was God selected us, as Bevel said. The God selected those who he wanted to be part with King. He said, when you refuse, when you was a little girl, told me you want to get on the front of the bus, God tapped you in. And these are the type of songs we sing. They sing on Christian soldiers, or we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. This is one of the songs. We always sing and pray. How long is the song? We didn't play. We believe. We believe like Moses and all the rest of them. Jeremiah. We were some. You sitting as a child around this child of strength, you can't do nothing but be strong. Yes, I'll have time for foolishness. There's some things I just don't participate in. Hey, y'all, Monday is Dr. Martin Luther Reverend King Jr.'s birthday, and we celebrate. It started in Montgomery. It left, but it went to Birmingham and some other place, but it came back to Montgomery before it went to Selma. It came back and picked us up. Mildred, and Eloise, and Leon Hall, and Lula, and Gladys, and all of us. What Bevel say? Your mama can't pee in the weeds. I always remember that. I miss Bevel. And we just listen. Don't y'all want to join our movement? That's how I became part of SDSS. So when he left, we talked about it. We said, sure, okay. Because if you do, you might get lynched. Yeah, we understand. We going with the movement, and we begin to fight for the right for representation, not the right to vote. They need to get this mess off. But anyway, it started in Montgomery, went back, and came back. And God told Selma up the other night. I'm going to talk to JT about that too. On with Christian soldiers.
What great gun soldier marching as to war with the
youngest gonna say, on with Christian soldiers, the soldiers in Montgomery, Alabama at the Holy Street Baptist Church led by Dr. King, our leader that God had prepared for, Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., his speech. At the Hope Street Baptist Church, I dare you to call tomorrow. And MLK, Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., my leader, my teacher, Bill, at the Hope Street Baptist Church.
I'm certainly very happy to see each of you out this evening. We are here this evening for serious business. We are here in a general sense. Because first and foremost, we are American citizens.
We're American citizens.
And we are determined to acquire our citizenship to the fullness of its meaning. We're here also because of our love for democracy. Because of our deep-seated belief that democracy transformed from thin paper to big action is the greatest form of government on earth. But we are here in a specific sense because of the bus situation in Montgomery. We are here because we are determined to get the situation corrected. This situation is not at all new. The problem has existed over endless years. For many years now, Negroes in Montgomery and so many other areas have been inflicted with the paralysis of crippling fear on buses in our community. So many occasions, Negroes have been intimidated and humiliated and oppressed, because of the sheer fact that they were Negroes. I don't have time this evening to go into the history of these numerous cases. Many of them lie, alas, in the thick fog of oblivion. But at least one stands before us now with glaring dimension. Just the other day, just last Thursday to be exact, one of the finest citizens in Montgomery, not one of the finest Negro citizens, but one of the finest citizens in Montgomery, was taken from a bus and carried to jail and arrested because she refused to get up to give her seat to a white person. Yeah. Right. Now the press would have us believe that she refused to leave a reserved section for Negroes. Yeah. But I want you to know this evening that there is no reserved section. Right. The law has never been clarified at that point. Yeah, well, no. Now I think I speak with legal authority. authority. Not that I have any legal authority, but I think I speak with legal authority behind me. But the law, the ordinance, the city ordinance has never been totally clarified. Mrs. Rosa Parks is a fine person. And since it had to happen, I'm happy that it happened to a person like Mrs. Parks. And nobody can doubt the boundless outreach of her integrity. Nobody can doubt the height of her character. Nobody can doubt the depth of her Christian commitment and devotion to the teachings of Jesus.
All right.
And I'm happy since it had to happen. It happened to a person that nobody can call a disturbing factor in the community.
All right.
Mrs. Parks is a fine Christian person, unassuming, and yet there is integrity and character there. And just because she refused to get up, she was arrested. You know, my friends, there comes a time when people get tired of being trampled over by the iron feet of oppression. We are not wrong in what we are doing. If
If we are wrong, the Constitution of the United States is wrong. If we are wrong, God of Almighty is wrong. If we are wrong, Jesus of Nazareth was merely a utopian dream of another came down to earth. If we are wrong, justice is enough.
People.
to Hope Street Baptist Church. That's when I got baptized. You got to understand, that's why we were so strong as children. Can you imagine being raised with all old freedom over? You could play it up onto me. Being raised with that kind of energy and belief and strength. Bring it down a little bit. That's where my strength come from. When you talk about the women of the movement, Joanne Robinson, who was head of the Women Political Council, teaching us young girls what to do and how to do, who really did the leaflet. These were young people. Dr. King was just 26 years old. Ralph Abernathy was young. Reverend Fields was young. Young folks, the movement was young folks who then came on to bring us that inner generation. A.W. Wilson at the Hope Street was young. Bethel Church was young. As they organized, E.D. Nixon was young, a poor reporter who pulled people together to organize. To be a great leader, you got to be a great follower. So that makes E.D. Nixon a great leader. You never heard him call Dr. King Martin. But he was a poor reporter. Salute. You know, I look up to E.D. Nixon. I don't know a lot about him. Unless somebody called it, nobody talk about E.D. Nixon, but it's from a negative point of view. But I thank God that he allowed those of us up in Montgomery to be a part of that so we can go on to the next century to carry on what we're trying to work on. Is it over? We got 26 years old. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. got selected to lead that Montgomery Improvement Association boycott. And I dare you to call it MLK. Now, Martin, did you have the courage in Montgomery to stand up? Before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave. Top of Chicago, 69 at Vivian. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.vivian.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. If you miss us, you can go back to Blog Talk, or you can just go to my page and I'll point you to it. The great city of Chicago, the great WVON. Get your coffee, get your tea. Old freedom over me. Before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave. That's you got to believe that. Dorothy Wright Tillman, be right there back as we celebrate the great Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., 26-year-old man leading that movement, responsible for my head. He and my pastor, Reverend Fields. Get your coffee, get your tea. We're coming back with J.T. Johnson, another strong young brother out of Georgia. But we was part of the staff of their Southern Christian Leadership Conference. I'll be right back.
To my Lord and be free. And before I be a slave,
I'll be
buried in my grave.
I'm going home.
And go home to my Lord and be free.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Was killed in the Venice community on January 3rd. Police say an officer called for backup after he was flagged for a traffic collision on Venice Boulevard. That's where he saw Anderson running around in the middle of the street. He was tasered after struggling with officers and later died at the hospital following a cardiac episode.
The damage from weeks of storms and flooding in California could top billions of dollars. This comes after 2022 was one of the worst years ever recorded for large-scale weather and climate disasters in the U.S. The nation was battered by more than a dozen disasters last year that caused over $1 billion in damages each. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says it is the third highest number in the agency's 43 years of record keeping.
Well, the new COVID-19 variant XBB is spreading rapidly across the U.S. In December, the strain boosted new infections from 4 to 18%. The CDC expects that increase to continue. The World Health Organization says XBB is the most transmissible form of Omicron yet. White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha.
All the science and all the evidence we have suggests that we're probably going to need to update our vaccine again next year and have Americans get vaccinated again next year. Right now, our focus is let's get Americans protected this winter with the updated COVID vaccines we have.
Experts say the new strain does not appear to cause more severe disease like other Omicron descendants. It probably causes milder illness compared with the Delta variants prior to Omicron. A Stone Mountain woman is celebrating her 105th birthday with L. Cunningham Shaw, was born in Lawrenceville, Georgia in 1918 and relocated to Atlanta as a preteen. Mrs. Shaw received her primary education from Ashby Street Elementary. That's the city's largest African-American public elementary school. She graduated from Booker Washington High School. Last year, Mrs. Shaw began sketching as a hobby. Her favorite subjects include animals, flowers, and fashionably dressed women. Mixed reaction from the black community on the latest move by a black-owned cosmetics company. We have details coming up. I'm Terry McCready, along with Natasha Williams, on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
There is an existing breast cancer mortality disparity in Chicago for black women compared to their white counterparts. Early detection is critical, and medical guidelines recommend that women should receive regular screening with breast imaging. Hi, this is host Dana Devine. This Saturday on the Equal Health, Equal Hope show, we'll have a conversation about why breast health is a vital part of every woman's health care plan. Join us. Saturdays at 11 a.m., listen to Equal Health, brought to you by Equal Hope. Everyone deserves the best possible health care.
With the Bloomberg Black Business Report, I'm Donna Wilson. The issue of racial equality and Black Lives Matter is front and center in the news. The Black Lives Matter movement was started in 2013. Co-founder Alicia Garza.
It really was just an idea whose time had come, and we were really able to meet a moment, particularly around the acquittal of a man in the murder of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin. And we were able to talk about Black Lives Matter, not just in relationship to police violence or vigilante violence, but certainly to connect those types and forms of violence to the everyday experiences of Black communities around the world.
And the issue brought communities together.
And so I think what we're seeing here is a real deepening and connecting between and amongst communities around the ways in which disparities and inequality impact our lives.
Alicia Garza was one of the participants in Bloomberg's Equality Summit last week. That's your Bloomberg Black Business Report. I'm Donna Wilson.
ESG is responsible investing. Who's responsible for building ESG into your investments? At PGIM, the pursuit is on for outperformance, to outdeliver with customized strategies, integrating ESG best practices into our investment decisions, as asset managers and fiduciaries to outserve with our commitment to better ESG outcomes. Join the pursuit of outperformance at PGIM, the investment management business of Prudential. Learn more at pgim.com.
You ever wonder what that Nike logo's all about? The swoosh? I think I got it figured out. It's the sound all your money makes flying out of your wallet to pay for those things. That's why I wear Skechers, because Skechers has all the comfort, performance, and style I need for a price that is unbelievably affordable. Look, let's start with comfort. Nobody makes more comfortable, perfectly fitting shoes than Skechers, and all with Skechers' exclusive air-cooled memory foam. Plus, they have incredible style, and they're even machine washable, so you can keep them looking good for longer. Find your perfect pair at Skechers.com or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
Here's to us, Illinois. Long live our morning rituals and our hobbies, old and new. Long live the backyard laugh and memories with our grandkids. To make sure we have the freedom to do what we love with the people we love, we all need to stay up to date on our COVID protection. For seniors, this means 2 vaccine doses and 2 boosters. Visit www.vaccines.gov to learn more. Paid for by the Illinois Department on Aging.
At WVON, here's how we're celebrating Martin Luther King Weekend. Listen as Rufus Williams broadcasts live from Mayor Lori Lightfoot's Interfaith Breakfast Friday morning from 7 to 9. And Rufus is back on the road again Monday morning as he broadcasts live from the Push Excel Martin Luther King Breakfast from 7 to 9. Meet Matt McGill live at the DuSable Museum on Monday from 1 p.m. to 3. Admission is free all day long on Martin Luther King Day. And don't forget to watch the premiere of the Oscar-nominated documentary, Witness from the Balcony of Room 306, premiering Sunday at 7 p.m. on Bond TV, where there's plenty of video content on Dr. King to enjoy all weekend long. It's a weekend fit for a king on the station that's living the dream. WVON.
Hi, I'm Congresswoman Robin Kelly.
And I'm Commissioner Donna Miller.
Nearly every week, an infant in Cook County dies suddenly and unexpectedly.
And black babies are 16 times more likely to die than white babies.
But you can help prevent sudden, unexpected infant death.
Remember, babies should always sleep on their back, in their own crib or bassinet, and with no other object in the crib.
With these simple steps, we can help protect our babies.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s weekend is must-see on Vine TV. You can enjoy great MLK content beginning Thursday on demand. On Sunday, January 15th at 7 p.m., watch the world premiere of the Oscar-nominated documentary, The Witness, from the balcony of Room 306. Spend the last 24 hours of Dr. King's life as told by Reverend Billy Kiles and others who witnessed it.
He was in the economic phase of his endeavor.
He knew economics was the next level. And that got him killed more than anything else.
This exclusive film is on loan to Vine TV from the Civil Rights Museum in Memphis and will only be available for a limited time. You can also enjoy HBO's documentary King in the Wilderness thanks to our partners at the Kunhart Foundation. There will be loads of content for you and your family to enjoy all weekend long. Spread the word that Vine TV has got a weekend fit for a king. Watch us on Roku, Apple TV+, Amazon Fire, or on any device at Vaughn.tv. Vaughn TV is WBON's digital streaming network, and we are living the dream.
Vaughn TV's premiere of The Witness from the Balcony of Room 306 airs Sunday at 7 p.m. on Vaughn TV. This exclusive content will remain on demand through King Day Monday.
If you're looking for fast fun and a chance to win big cash prizes, you need to get in the game with the Illinois Lottery and Fast Play. You can play these speedy games anywhere in the state, online or on the Illinois Lottery app. Be smart, play smart. Must be 18 or older to play. Game odds are available at illinoislottery.com.
I'll second guest dinners with friends because they can be interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon, pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit creoninfo.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's creoninfo.com.
From the Xfinity Studios at WVON, it's Dorothy Tillman on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Bound in jail, had no money for to go to bail. No.
Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on, hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on. Hold on.
Hold on.
Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on, hold on.
All in silence begin to shout.
Yeah.
God's plow.
Yeah.
Couldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Keep me
Oh, I got something for you, my brother. Hold on. I got something for you. Got something for you before I come to you.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, my brother. Got something for you, then I'm coming to you. This is for you. Please.
I come here tonight and plead with you.
Well.
Believe in yourself.
Well,
and believe that you're somebody.
This is for you, JT.
As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for
us. It's about 2 minutes, JT.
No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Yeah. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. Always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. But I want to get the language right tonight.
The language right now, yeah. Come on, Doc.
I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, and I'm black and I'm beautiful. Hey, JT.
All right, doctor,
that's the leader we
that's
followed.
That's what we really miss, huh?
Well,
that's
what we followed, huh, JT? That's what we were in.
You know what I tell people? I say, the one thing in my life I'm very, very proud of, I had the opportunity to walk the earth with Martin Luther King Jr. and Ralph Abernathy.
Oh, praise God. And Jose and Bevel.
And Jose and C.T. Vivian. And don't forget the Reverend Dr. Fred Shuttleford.
Oh, no, not forget any of them. You know, I played, let me tell everybody, this is J.T. Johnson. We talk like we, J.T. is my civil rights brother. We was in that movement together. We traveled this country with Dr. King. J.T., it's from Albany, and I'm from Alabama, and we're going to do some talking that y'all want to know some stuff that you did not even hear before. So, JT, I enjoyed talking to JT so much last night. It was just a good feeling that I had.
It's always a pleasure. You know, I love you, darling. It's always good to talk to you.
I love you, too. So, you know, I was telling them this morning that I'm tired of folks from Laden and MLK. That was Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You can tell his staff, we always said, Dr. King, that's a respect.
That's right.
That's respect. So, JT.
Well, let me just tell you what happened yesterday. They gave me the Andrew Young Humanitarian Award from the state. That's from the state capitol.
Come on now, watch yourself.
So, they did a lie. They gave Fred Taylor the Joseph Laurie Award.
Uh-huh.
So nobody said it. I said, when the man gave my award, I said, Mister, I don't receive no rewards if I can't say nothing.
Come on now, come on with it.
So I said, let me just tell you one thing. The civil rights movement was the most important thing of the 20th century.
That's right.
And Atlanta, Georgia is a very special city. It is Martin Luther King Jr.'s hometown.
That's right.
And we must begin to treat it just like that.
You better come on with it, I said, my brother.
We have done everything we can with guns and policemen and state troopers and army people trying to stop the violence.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King said we need to start the conversation.
What'd he say?
The conversation is around nonviolence.
He said nonviolence.
We changed the world through a nonviolent movement.
That's right.
I know we can change Chicago. We can change Atlanta. We can change New York. And we can change L.A.
Yeah, we can change this whole country.
It's all of our responsibility to make that happen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, because nonviolence represents love. Jesus was love. And when you
and
know,
strength.
And strength, that's right. I was listening, you go back, you should look and find that tape that Dr. King did when he was 26 at Oak Street Baptist Church. But how he said we had our God, we had our, you know, we had God. We believed in God. We believe in God now. And that was a strength.
Well, you know what Fred said? He said God had taken all of the fear out of our hearts.
Right now.
We had nothing to fear.
Well, I want to talk to you this morning, JT, because I'll be seeing you in a couple of weeks. But I want to talk to you this morning about, you know, I played Dr. King when he was 26 at the Holt Street, when he was selected by Fields and E.D. Nixon and all of them, Abernathy and all of them, to lead the Montgomery Improvement Association. And I gave the history, because, see, that's when I first met Dr. King. I was with him since I was nine. And and I was very involved in Montgomery Bus Boycott. But all of us, as we move around, as Bevel said, God put us all in place to do what we had to do. But as we moved around, but I want to talk about, because you're from Georgia. And you tell me, when you met Dr. King, you became part of the staff, and we're going to have like 45 minutes to talk about this, because I'm not going to take no phone calls. I'm just going to talk. Because my boy would be lit up. I get phone calls from all over the country. Even in Atlanta, they listen. But I want to talk about you and Les and all y'all. When you met Dr. King and how we was as staff people, how young we was. Dr. King was 26, he retroactively had us, how young we was. I want to talk about that. When you talk about Leon and all of us, and just talk, I'm going to leave it open. Just talk. It's up to you. I'm going to leave it's the field is open to you. The whole nation is listening to you. What you got? Let's talk about it for a moment.
Well, the thing is, let me just tell you a little bit about myself. I was born and raised in a little town in Middle Georgia called Montezuma. And I stayed there until I was 5 years old. And then I moved to Valdosta with my aunt. Spent 1 year there. And from there, my father was in Albany, Georgia. And I moved to Albany in 1949. Well, my mother died. I was 12 years old. But in Albany, I became an athlete. I could do most anything. You know, I was the town's tall.
Well, they see I told them handsome, and how big you were there. See, I always thought you was the handsome thing in the world. Go on, JT.
Yeah, but and what I did, you see, I was a football player. I was a running back on the offense and a cornerback on defense. You had to play both sides when I was playing football. So I graduated from high school and went to Albany State University. And there was a something about in the African-American community in Albany. The people on that side of the river where Albany State College was, they thought they had moved a step ahead of those of us who came from the other side.
I understand
said,
that.
Well, so when I went to school over there, the coaches, they didn't care that much about me, other than my backfield coach was Joe Mitchell, who was from Albany. So they ganged up on me. They broke my shoulder and my arm and everything. So I said, okay, that was my sophomore year. So I packed my bags. I said, I know, if, number one, I couldn't go to Georgia. I couldn't go to Georgia Tech. They had a running back at Georgia Tech. It was Leon Hardeman, a two-time All-American. And I said, he couldn't carry my shoes to the stadium. So the thing is that I moved to New York and said I was never coming back down south. But in 1962, I saw something going on in Albany. I was visiting with some friends in New Jersey, in Orange, New Jersey. I said, I'm packing my bags and I'm going home. I'm going to get involved in that movement.
Yeah,
I'm going to make damn sure somebody can go to Georgia and somebody can go to Georgia Tech from the South as an athlete. So that's when I joined the movement, and Martin Luther King and Ralph Abernathy was in Albany. So we spent time. I got home on a Wednesday and went to jail on Thursday.
All right now.
and stayed in jail 5 days and fasting. I'd never fasted in my life. I know nothing about fasting, but I did. And when I got out of jail 2 weeks later, that was must have been in July. They was something was going on in St. Augustine, Florida. They had beat Andy Young up down there on June the 12th. And we went down to Albany. Down to St. Augustine. And, man, we marched morning, day, and night. They beat us in the morning. They beat us in lunch. And they did the same thing at night.
Oh, my God.
So the thing was that we decided. They tried to arrest Dr. King and put him in the back of a car with a German shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. King and the shepherd got to be friends.
Tell me about God.
He didn't know what to do.
Well, he put
his arms
up.
The dog wouldn't even bother Dr. King. He wouldn't say nothing. He said that. He laid in his lap, and Dr. King fed him and everything. So those cops was frustrated. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So now, me and Jose was scheming. We said that we got to do something.
Well, wait, hold up now. You
get
said
in the
Jose.
News, we got to do. See, we didn't have social media. We didn't have computers. We didn't.
Yeah.
Dr. King never seen any of this stuff. We didn't see any of that in the 60s. But what we did was that we knew one thing. If we did something fantastic, if we did something kind of crazy, we would get in the news.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we did. We decided we was going to the Monson Motor Lodge. Ralph Abernathy and Dr. King went there and tried to have breakfast. They wouldn't let us have no breakfast, no coffee, nothing. Okay, so we came right after them. And around 11:30 or 12 o'clock, I jumped off in that pool. Now, the rabbis was marching on the other side of the pool. All this was going on right downtown St. Augustine at the slave market.
Uh-huh.
So they came in there. The manager tried to get us out of the pool. He had that big stick. He tried to beat us out. We wouldn't move. He went in and got a bottle of acid. He poured that in the pool. That didn't bother us. So the next day, all of the deputies jumped into the pool and started pulling us out. So they put us in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the story is they locked me up in a camp somewhere with C.T. Vision was already there, Reverend Shuttlesworth, and a lot of other people was in jail.
You're laying history out now.
So when I got there, I was in my bathing suit. So it was time to eat dinner. So they told me I couldn't eat because I didn't have on any clothes.
Being naked around
well,
the white folks.
You locked me up in a bathing suit. So they said, he said, okay. So the C.T. said, well, there's none of us going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So we started fasting. 2 days later, they thought they had us. They opened the gates, and the Ku Klux Klan started to come. That was at one night, about 8:30. It was dark.
Uh-huh.
They was coming down to the jailhouse. Reverend S.B. Wells, he was from Albany, Georgia, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, Reverend Wells, so he'd set himself on fire with gas and burn himself up. And
oh, yeah, they got to understand now.
People.
Come on, tell the story.
That was Reverend Wells.
Uh-huh.
So Reverend Wells walked to the door. He had and looked up there. He was a little bit, kind of a short guy with red eyes and dark skin. He looked at those clams and he stared at them and stared at them. They threw down every brick they had, every hole they had, everything they had, and walked away.
I'm listening.
They didn't lay a hand on us. They turned around and walked away from that jailhouse. But that was the kinds of things that we did in the Civil Rights Movement, is that Martin Luther King had a grind crew. Now, Big Lester comes from Savannah.
Yeah, yes, that one you know I got to talk about.
Lester. Broad Street in Savannah.
Yeah,
I mean
Big
that
Lester.
Was his
well, wait,
territory.
You did say Big Lester. They got to understand.
Big Lester. Lester came, and everybody knew Big Lester in Savannah.
Uh huh.
Now, but the powerhouse of Savannah, Georgia, was Benjamin Van Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Ben was 6'5" tall. I guarantee you. But he could. You talk about could talk and preach. He had everybody fired up.
Yeah.
So you know. They finally named a park after Benjamin Van Clark in Savannah. I was so happy to hear that. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Because he gave his life to the Civil Rights
Movement.
Well,
see, folks don't understand. People gave it. I talk about all the things that people gave up. That's why we're committed. They out here playing.
That's
we
right.
have to be committed because of the people who died, because of the people who gone mm-hmm. before us, because of Jimmie Lee Jackson. Leon is gone. Big Lester, you just
Leon
named
all,
him.
Yeah. Leon yeah. came to us. Leon wasn't but 16 years old.
Well, you know, Leon, no, but see, Bevel recruited us.
I know. Y'all was young.
Young.
I was 22.
Yeah, we were young.
We was all young. You
all
know,
young.
But we had dedicated our life. You know, I told her, I said, the thing was, we had made $25 every 2 weeks.
Well,
I
yes,
said to Jose,
yeah,
I said, man,
right.
I made
every
my money
weeks.
Not playing nine ball in the pool room. So
every 2 weeks. Well, and when we
so
got to North, say that we didn't. I tell folks we didn't. We just made money to get our personal. But JT,
that's all. Dr. King said we didn't need no money. We
God,
wore jeans.
And said
we
God,
lived
well,
with
he
people.
Said the Lord
they
would take care of us.
Yeah, they did. The people in the community took care of us.
Yes, they did.
You know what a lady told me in Bastrop, Louisiana?
What?
She grabbed me and her, but she was a preacher's wife. She said, I want to tell you one thing. You all was the most courageous black men I've ever seen, who ever walked the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to let you know that.
Well, you know, JT, I tell people all the time, I don't know all this stuff they're talking about, because we didn't have those hang-ups about the men and the women. I've been around strong black men, just like you see
I'm
strong black
you.
Women. I don't understand this
yeah.
mess these folks talking about, because I saw some strong. I remember when we was in Philadelphia. Remember we was doing that Northern tour with Dr. King?
That's right.
And this cracker came up, jumped on that stage with a machete to cut Dr. King up. Big Lester grabbed his butt, threw him on that ground, and y'all beat his butt. And he said,
we didn't have that. Now we didn't. I told him most of us come from the streets.
Yeah.
So, you know, we practiced nonviolent. And eventually we became nonviolent. But I wasn't that nonviolent when I got in the movement.
Let me tell you something. I want to tell folks, this white boy said, I thought y'all was nonviolent. Let's say, yes, we are. Take this. Y'all beat that boy up so bad. And Dr. King kept on preaching. He said, I want to talk to my brothers over there. We was in Philadelphia. On the other side of the street, he preached them folks so bad they got shamed. But y'all beat the stew out of that man. I never forget that.
But you know, I want to talk about one thing. One of the things that I've concerned myself with is that black people are afraid to become independent.
Uh-huh, I'm listening.
African-Americans we have billionaires, millionaires, wealthy people in all kinds of fields, financially.
Mm-hmm.
The Black Wall Street, we could repeat throughout the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that I said to these people in Atlanta, they created a Black Wall Street over in East Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And I said, man, you know what? That's an insult what you all are doing to Oklahoma.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
You didn't call a meeting. We have banks. We have insurance companies. We have everything that anybody else have in Atlanta. We got it.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you call a meeting and ask these people here, what do they think about us creating that kind of a shopping center?
Because it's
for
superficial.
Atlanta.
Let me tell
they
you did, something.
They didn't want to do it. They didn't want to do it.
So
I say, that you can't. So they asked me, would I be a part of it? You know what I told them, and walked out. I could. I don't like things like that. I'm not one to try to do something to make myself important.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther King said, if you want to be great, you got to serve.
You got to serve. Well, you know.
You got to serve.
One of the things, though, is that I was talking to Andy the other night, and we were talking about all the stuff, people who have reaped, I'm putting them in my words, the education, political, and economic benefits of our struggle, they're responsible for not coming back to rebuild community. They got the money. They should have called a JT and all the rest of them and built it. But if you look at the movement, we had structure. I was looking at the Montgomery movement when Mrs. Park got arrested. I was young. My family was involved in the movement. But the structure that they came together and that they put together to be able to put that MIA, how they came together, Bethel Church, all these churches came together, Bell Street, E.D. Nixon called everybody together, and they put structure to it, and that's how they came up with the MIA. And they selected Dr. King, but because of the structure, they was able to move forward. People don't understand, nothing they understand, JT, is that SCLC.
Well, you know, the word is, that probably wouldn't have been a movement had not been for Ralph Abernathy.
Oh, well, and
the things
and
that
Nixon.
He did in Montgomery with Martin Luther King Jr.
Well, they met.
People don't know the story. I traveled with Ralph 5 years after the assassination of Dr. King.
Mm-hmm.
And the first year was hard. It was hard, hard, hard. The only thing that helped us was that everybody on Eastern Airline knew us, all of the stewardess.
Well, you
so
know.
So they helped me out a lot with Dr. Abernathy because he missed his friend.
Well, you got to remember
and
now.
And Ralph thought he couldn't understand why they didn't kill him, too. I said, Ralph,
you
were back. You weren't
thing.
On the back.
Oh, yeah,
back
yeah,
of
yeah, yeah. And he was,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that was some hard times for Dr. Abernathy. And
course,
I said that
course,
I tell people that all the time,
mm-hmm.
is that we have to understand that
the pain
that was, you know, people say they was here, they was there. What I say is this: whatever you did in the civil rights movement, it was important. You don't have to add anything to it at all. If you was the person who cleaned the church at night, they could kill you because you started in there by yourself.
Yeah.
And the same thing with whoever it was, whatever you did, it was important.
Mm-hmm.
So you tell your story.
Yeah, you're right.
Because a lot of folks weren't in the movement.
No, they weren't. But, you
but now everybody said they was a part of it.
They were scared. They was cowards.
Yeah, they was afraid to be in the movement.
Right.
Preachers wouldn't even allow us in their churches,
oh,
some of them.
No. You know, we came to
Chicago. That was, you know, we used to meet up on the trees.
Yeah, but you know what? When we came to Chicago, JT,
first time in history.
Well, you know, we did the Northern Tour together. And we were selected Chicago. I stayed back with Bevel. You went on back to Atlanta, and you was with Jose.
Right.
Leon left us at that point, too, and Lula and all of y'all went back. But, you know, they shot Dr. King in the head. These niggas got scared. I ain't got my brother ain't brought out. But the thing of it is that we came here. This was the first time in the history. They had a press conference. The ministers and told us to go back. They didn't need us here. Never before had they did a press, and the politicians Strowge and all of them told us to go back. But we stayed. Ooh. You know, these folks, and Dr. King, I remember we were meeting, because I, you know, when we was touring, we went to Ohio, we went to Cleveland. You remember Cleveland? You remember we went to the House of Will? You remember the House of Will?
We stayed there, remember?
Yeah, stand up over them dead bodies, and we didn't know we was in a funeral
that
home.
That sure did. That's what we... But you know, when that guy got elected, he didn't invite us to his inauguration.
No, no. And was that way up who went down there and found them bodies? He went down there and he kind of running back to us. Oh, Lord, some dead bodies down there. Jimmy Carr, you know.
We had some great times. We enjoyed the movement.
We did.
We were very serious about what we were doing.
Well, you know, I liked, we went to Philadelphia one too. But Ohio, I love those black folks in Ohio. I didn't like Chicago.
Yep.
And I remember we was going to meet JT with Belva and Dr. King and all of them. We was meeting. And I told him, I want to go home. I would have followed y'all to Atlanta or something. I wanted to go home because it was kind of heartwarming to have these folks to do this stuff. And so I remember Dr. King said, well, you know how Dr. King was. He can tell, he can say something, make you laugh. Well, there's some strange kind of Negroes in Chicago. You know, they get to joke around. You know how we joke around the table, right, and start talking.
Dr. King.
Strange. He said, yeah, these Negroes is worse than Mr. Charlie in Mississippi. They on the plantation. The only thing they get is a garbage can.
Well, you know, Dr. King, we Jose called and begged him to let us come. All of us wanted to come up there.
Uh-huh.
He said, no. We want you all to stay in the South. We was in Grenada, Mississippi at that time.
Yeah, y'all were working on Sculpt, too.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
We had that summer, that was a summer project Jose put together. We had a lot of people. I recruited from New York to Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
And colleges all across this country.
Well, I was
in Atlanta. Those are the kind of things that we needed in Atlanta. I'm getting ready to meet with the governor, and I'm asking for $3
million.
Uh-huh. Is that.
Of your money. Ain't begging. Of your money.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
We have five folks who've gone through the nonviolent training program that they have up at the University of Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
I have five I sent through that last summer. One of them was my granddaughter.
Oh, okay. Okay.
She's in the 11th grade this year.
Uh-huh.
So the thing is, I'm meeting with the superintendent of schools, and I told the governor this yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm going to ask them, can we start in elementary school? And then we'll move to middle school, then to high school, then to colleges.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to do is send somebody from elementary school, from middle school, high schools, and colleges.
Mm-hmm.
I want three people from each one of them and put them through the nonviolent training program.
Because, you know, we know that it works. And one thing that
Then we're going to start talking about it and teaching it.
Yeah.
He said, hold on. He called his friend, that fellow over there. He said, I want you to set this meeting with Mr. Johnson with me for next week.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, because we know nonviolent work. You know the third principle of nonviolence say that you don't fight. You fight the injustice, not the person. Because if you fight injustice, then you have the self in terms of reconciliation. But if you fight, if you fight the person, you can move that person in justice still there, or you cannot have reconciliation. Nonviolent work.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you something else. One of the things we need to do, I was in Dallas, Texas.
Uh-huh.
I went out there three times, meet with ministers.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to get on every fourth Sunday. That's a slow Sunday in most churches.
Uh-huh.
The minister need to preach a sermon around nonviolent across this nation.
I like
that. I'm talking about African-Americans,
Jews, white folks,
Catholics. I don't care who they are. We need to do this. The other thing that I said, I did a white paper. I had some scholars and some ministers that do it on racism.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it is.
It is a sin. But what?
So what we wanted to do was then the very next Sunday, I saw a big sign, a friend of mine out in Oakland, California, a Catholic church had a sign saying the same thing. Now, they didn't see the webinar or anything. They hadn't seen it. They hadn't heard it from us. So I called those few. I told them, I'm going to call them Monday morning, and I did.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going out there next month to speak to them. The thing I said to them, we need to get to the Pope and ask him to declare, first of all, call a meeting of all of the heads of the denominations around the world, and let's meet in the Vatican, and let's talk about racism being a sin, and then let's put it out there.
Well, you know, JT, now wait a minute.
We
got to, one thing about our movement was that we as a people came together and moved on some and had other folks to join us. If we don't get our ministers, these black, our ministers together, I agree with you. We need to talk about this some more to let them begin to lead and make them then bring that into. We got to move our people, you know. We got to move our people to where
well,
you are.
You know, Martin Luther King said you have to go where we gather.
Yeah, because see.
And church is a place that we gather in. Folks, they don't go to church anymore. Yes, they do. People are going back to church.
They, that boy, half that boy.
And the thing is, because there's violence in the streets.
Let me tell you something, JT. God is deep. When that boy, number three, Hamlin, when he fell out and died on that field, everybody got on their knees. God know how to put you on your knees. And everybody
in that stand was praying. And he lifted that young man on back up.
Did he lift him up? Tell me about that.
Yes,
it's a miracle. No, it's the power of God. We know. Let me ask you this, JT. Now, most folks don't know that that I want to talk about what happened in Selma. Selma got blown away, but I want to talk about it before I go. But I want you to talk about how we was as a family and a structure in this movement and how much we love and how we prayed and we moved forward, how we was not afraid, how we used songs and how we really moved. There was James Orange. I don't want to leave a big lesson. Now,
Lord, all those folks gone. I'm telling you, all my friends are dead. I tell people that all the time. I don't, you know, in Atlanta, just me and Andy Young.
Yeah, but Andy told me he was 90. Ain't but a few of us left, JT. But
right.
That's why I'm glad we getting
you
together.
You know, what I wanted to do when Andy was turning 90 years old, I talked to Cleve Sellers. I talked to Willie Ricks and a whole lot of other guys from SNCC. And all of us, I wanted to have a meeting in Atlanta all of these people who was a part of the civil rights movement, from the NAACP, from CORE, from SNCC, and from SCLC.
That's right.
But the folks that was putting the thing together for Andy didn't want to do that.
Well, you was an organizer, and let's understand.
Yeah.
See, well, I said the structure. Like, I was the direct action. I was a Bevel. And you and Jose.
Yeah,
and
they didn't understand how you move people.
They don't know.
You see, C.R. Franklin said, if it ain't the law, then who is it?
That's right. It's the devil. Now, you know, you better stop. You got me jumping around this station. It's the devil. But folks don't understand the love and the trust we had with each other and how we believed in God and the young folks. We weren't afraid to die. We didn't want to die. But how often? We talked about death at our meeting. Said, when I die, don't just bury me. Organize around my death. They don't even understand that we was committed to die for our people.
But Dorothy, let me tell you one thing. What I do, I have listening sessions with young folk in Atlanta.
That's good.
And I listen to them.
I listen to them. That's a good idea.
And what I'm getting ready to do, I want to have young ladies on one Saturday, young men on another Saturday, come back the next Saturday, have young ladies and their mothers, and the next Saturday have young men and their fathers. Now, what the mothers and fathers got to do is listen. They can't say a word. Just listen. Because they don't listen to the children at home. These kids on these computers. You see, China says that they don't allow these kids to do anything in China but education and stuff.
That's right.
On
and they only
media.
Can be on for 2 hours. They don't
in
play
this
that
country
game.
Here, they say they're nothing but DSI. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I understand.
That's all it is, and that's what's raising our children.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot not see out of Washington out there in Seattle. They getting ready to stop it. They say they is not going to have it because
it off.
Is destroying our young people.
Yeah, they
and
are
it
destroying.
Is.
And a lot of things, these people are not taking their children to church. I've been recruiting. We got to take our children to church. We got to let them believe
in
God.
Yeah, you don't send them. You have to carry them.
You got to carry them, you know. And you got to. We got to have let our folks know it's a God. Because we know of God of our weary years, God of our silent tears. We went through that. So can't nobody tell us because we went through death. You know, when I'm going to do something, I'm going to switch on you. I'm going to switch on you real quick. I told about less than the other folks. But I'm going to switch it like folks talk about Selma. They don't talk about Jimmie Lee Jackson. And I remember when they was I went to Montgomery because I thought it wasn't going to happen. You remember they was praying around they was praying in jail because James Orange was there. Lula and all of them was there. So I went home for a few days. That's when I was going for a few days. I had no idea if they went to that jail and they was praying. But they had already planned to turn off. The CT told me they turned off all the lights and he was headed back. And he went back to when they had done that, when Jimmie Lee Jackson got shot. Folks don't know.
I know it. I went over there, you know, but Jose sent me to Montgomery, me and Ben Clark and Lester.
Well, I was in Montgomery.
He was in Montgomery trying to prepare Montgomery for the march.
Yeah, well, I was in
SNCC
Montgomery.
Didn't want a march. They didn't want that march.
Oh, no. And folks, how much?
No, they really didn't. John Lewis, when he was on the bridge, he didn't represent SNCC. He came as an independent person.
Yes, he did. And
I say things that people get mad with me sometimes.
But let me say this. You ain't got to say it because you work with Jose and I work with Bubba. We was all one. I want to say this. Jose was leading and representing SCLC on that bridge. And Jose got beat
up. Well, the thing
terrible.
Is, Ralph Abernathy and Martin Luther King were supposed to be there. What happened was Dr. Abernathy had something going on in his church very special. He told Dr. King he just could not leave. Martin Luther King said he was not going back to Selma without Ralph Abernathy.
But also, we
and
didn't,
he was
want,
wait until
also
the next
we didn't want him
so he
there.
Asked Jose to do it. Jose begged him and said, no, Doc, please let us go. Please let us go. So Dr. King said, okay, y'all cross the bridge and come back.
Well, I remember the reason I want to say this. The reason we went to Selma, I mean, went across that bridge, I remember, I think we was in Moraine, was it Perry County? We somewhere, when Bubba got out of jail, Jimmie Lee Jackson got wherever they had him, Jimmie Lee Jackson got killed. I would always remember Bubba's speech. He said, not only, he said, we're going to take that body, and we're going to take it to Montgomery and sit it at the capital of Wallace. Now, and then,
right.
then Jimmie Lee Jackson and them folks decided they were buried. I think he buried on the slave trade down there. But people don't understand how we operate. And we're going to talk about that some more as this curriculum of teaching, JT, because they didn't understand how we operate and how we did stuff. And I lift up Jose all the time. I said Jose was representing us. I don't throw no shade on Lewis, but these power people try to make it look like it was Lewis Marsh. But he came because Snick didn't want to be with us. But Jose was
you know,
leading our march, and he got beat up
there. Atlanta for John Lewis. I said, well, y'all maybe ought to just name the city John Lewis.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was
because, and I don't take nothing from John Lewis, but it's one thing that John Lewis did do. He carried those senators across that bridge for 20-some years, and we still don't have the right to vote. I say we got the promise for the right to vote.
Well, we got
they have to visit it every 25 years.
Uh-huh.
The Supreme Court been dipping away at it. So, I mean, why would you take Jose? Wouldn't look at him across there, I bet you that.
Well, let me talk about Jose.
They'd have had to vote for the right to vote
before
they went across the bridge.
I want to talk about Jose and some of the leadership and the structure. I'm going to spend 2 minutes doing that. People don't know how we were structured in terms of the board, the field secretary. We all worked under certain people. But Jose don't know. They don't know Jose was a chemist.
Yeah, he was.
He gave up his job to come work with Dr. King. See, people got to understand folks gave up a lot. Because he saw the wrong, what was going on with y'all and what was going on with black folks, what was going on with us. And people have to understand, Jose was a brilliant man. And I talk about him all the time. I get upset. It's like they're trying to wipe him out of history, Bev out of history.
Yeah.
They don't want folks to understand that structure, you out of history. Leo
James Bevers. I mean, Bevers, you talk about brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Was Bevers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bevers was a smart man. He really was. He
yes,
was
he
a
was.
Great guy.
Yeah, and you know, what I liked about Bevel is Bevel told us, look, we're going to teach you so you can do it on your own. What folks don't understand how we are. And I would like to say we're some of the toughest and the baddest organizers in this country because we know what to do. I was in Choctaw County. You remember Butler, Alabama? When we got ready to do scope. That's what they sent me. And I was working with the University of Iowa. That's who came down there. When I got a call to come back and get ready for the Northern Tour to go to Chicago, Bevel sent me to Chicago to organize. He said, Dr. King wanted me up there to work with them youth. But do you remember when we was in Ohio and we got to, because we advanced Dr. King each place. And remember we got to the airport and it was a notice telling us Dr. King wasn't comfortable with Chicago and wanted us to turn around and come back.
Yeah, right.
And we came back because Dr. King knew these Negroes up here.
We came back to Chicago.
Yes, we got on the plane, turned around, and came on back. And they didn't understand how we loved our leader and how we loved our people. They really, somebody, maybe you'll do it, we got to really write the love that we had is what made us successful. And then when he said, I don't feel comfortable in Chicago, my field staff folks come back. And we went back. And I think he was staying at the Hilton. And I remember, Jesse,
right.
Do you remember this? We got this, and we want to see Dr. King. And they say,
right.
They call Andy. They say, some people down here, railroad parents, some of they want to see Dr. King.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't look right. Yeah. Andy said, keep them down there. They can't come up here. And he came down in the lobby and started laughing. But Dr. King, they knew the love, and love Dr. King had for his people. The love and respect he had for us, they tried to keep us out in terms of how we did this movement. They try to keep Jose. They try to keep Bevel. All these folks, and then they rewrite the stuff, which means our children don't understand this movement. That's why I'm glad what you're doing. And one thing you said to me, and I'm going to talk to you about that another time, this stuff about the churches got to teach one son of this nonviolence, because if people understood the power of nonviolence,
right,
and understood we can change this stuff.
We can't. Let me tell you what I'm going to tell you. The church has to do two things. Number one, they need to choose a Sunday simultaneously across the country, black and white preachers, to preach a sermon around nonviolence once a month.
I'm with you on that.
The summer months, they got to call for some kind of structure, baseball teams.
Mm-hmm.
All across in every church in the country, they need to finance it. They need to buy the uniforms, the gloves, the shoes, the caps, and everything. And they need to have these summer programs for these young people so that they can compete in Chicago, Atlanta, all across the nation.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do that all together. And once a month again, we need to have a meeting at some place on Sunday.
Well, let me tell you this, JT.
And the overplay, we're going to do it at Centennial Park in Atlanta.
Let me tell you, no, JT, I'm going to talk to you. That's something that the Spirit putting in you that we got to do. So we're going
to
talk.
Yeah, we got to do it.
Really lay it out. And I'll agree with you in terms of that. Let me just make an announcement real quick, JT. Were you speaking that Monday, JT? Were you speaking Monday?
I'm not speaking. I'm going to the Ecumenical Services. They asked me to come over there.
Okay. Let me announce this to my audience. The Harold Washington Culture Center presents an intimate evening with Dorothy Wright Tillman, former field staff organizer Dr. King, Monday, January 16th. I'll be at the Harold Washington, streaming on all social media platforms at 8 p.m. I'm going to do it in advance, and then they're going to stream it because I got a couple other places to be. But then at 8 o'clock, I'm going to come after streaming at 8 o'clock, I'm going to take questions. And this performance, this is sponsored by the Chicago Independent Venues. That's all these different clubs and different theaters and stuff, and also the the league special, and special thanks to the league of Chicago is also part of it. So that's at 10 o'clock. We're gonna be on all 8 o'clock all social media Monday, and I'm gonna tape in advance, and I'm gonna really mention this stuff you just said about this getting together with this whole nonviolent. I like that. I'm gonna start pushing that and talk to you more about it. But that's Monday, y'all, on all social media at 8 p.m. I'll be streaming, and it's by the Independent Venue League and also the League of Chicago Theaters. They're going to be talking there, and I'm going to – that's why I wanted you on with me today, because they got to hear other folks besides me, and I like this idea of – I like this idea. I'm going to talk to you about it off the air, because, you know, once we get an idea, we can germinate that. And we can start.
Yes, we can, and we need to do that. I'd love to do it for the ministers in Chicago to hear that, because they don't know how powerful that is and how powerful that makes them as ministers.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't preach the social gospel, why are you preaching?
Well, they are preaching.
That's the question.
No. They're preaching social gospel, but they're not preaching what Dr. King preached. They're preaching the other stuff, that social work stuff. They're not preaching.
Yeah.
They're not preaching. They don't even mention. They scared, half of them scared to mention Jesus and God, because all kind of stuff. No, they're not preaching what we preach. We preach the gospel according to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Not according to this other stuff. So they got to go back to the Bible, because as Dr. King said, you know, Dr. King laid it out, Jesus. They got to go back to the gospel, go back to getting these folks and say, no, not that social, the gospel according to Jesus Christ, and nonviolent is love. Our love is Jesus' love, and I love that program, JT. We're going
to
talk about it.
Well, the preachers need to get on their knees and pray themselves, for themselves, and ask God to guide them. To put on their mind, how do we stop the violence that is going on in our country and in the world?
Mm-hmm.
How do we stop it?
Mm-hmm.
The preachers need to get on their knees and pray for themselves to say these things.
Yeah, JT.
And then start to talk to the audience about what they put, God has put on their heart.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they preach about everything God did. I say, we know God did what he did, because if he didn't, we wouldn't be in your church.
That's right.
I want to hear what you're going to do.
Yeah,
that's what the preacher needs to talk about. Is he going to do that relates to what God has already done?
Well, you know what,
what
Bevel
he does
said,
every day.
You know, Bevel said, JT. Bevel said that most folks have to let Jesus do it and talk about that because they're cowards. They don't want to do it themselves. And
that's
not
right.
You know what they told us, JT? God ain't going to come paint your room. You got to know how to do that. They that got to trust in the Lord until they die. They got to trust in God. They got to believe what they're talking and what they're reading, and they got to ask for the Spirit of God that you're talking about. Get on their knees. They got to pray.
They got to pray and give their heart to God, and don't be afraid that something's going to happen to them. Something can happen to you anyway, whether you're preaching or not. You have got to commit to something.
That's right. That's right.
Martin Luther King said, if you haven't found something worth dying for, you ain't fit to live no way.
That's right. That's right. Well, JT.
That's what I live by. You know, I love Martin Luther King and Dr. Abernathy, CT, and all my friends and
all
of you all.
We
had a relationship that nobody on earth had but us.
That's right. And still have it, those of us who are still alive. And that's why I said I'm looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks. But, JT, I got to have you back for the teaching. I've enjoyed you so much. Is there some closing thoughts you want to give us? I want to know what's going on in Selma. I know a storm came through Selma, and you was getting ready to go down.
Let me just say that. I have been talking to people about Selma, Alabama, for quite a while.
Uh-huh.
So I made up my mind and told Adney, I said, I'm going to Selma, and we're going to change Selma.
Uh-huh.
And change what Selma looks like. So when people come to Selma, Alabama, when they leave there, they're going to have something in their hearts. That they're going home to make a difference. That's the attitude, and that's the, what we have to make Selma. Now, let me tell you how it happened. See, now, the Lord done sent that hurricane through there. Now, most of those buildings that we were getting ready to buy and fix up already have been torn down now for us.
So
the Spirit has got it now where we got to rebuild it. We can rebuild it downtown like we want it. And it ain't about us. It's about the spirit of the civil rights movement and the spirit of this time. Selma itself is a very special city. I say to people, this is where African Americans was promised the right to vote.
Selma is special for a lot of reasons. Not just Selma. You're talking about Perry County, Marengo County, Choctaw County.
All
the
those counties around it, but I'm saying it's just
Sunshine.
This is where we concentrated out of Selma. We worked out of there.
Yeah, but we had Sunshine. We had Sunshine, all the folks down there, Perry County, Choctaw County, all them counties we worked in. They know all the stuff we did. So Alabama, that whole little piece down there. But Alabama have always been, it is the anchor for our movement. Like I said,
we're going to change Highway 80 because we're getting ready to build a museum on that 80 acres of land that African-American man owned.
You told
me. And I'm working with his great-granddaughter,
I'll be down there
Tracy Coleman.
I'll be down there to meet about that. I think that's really great. Folks will understand that was about when we was marching. There was those camps. Explain what you got 2 minutes to explain what you were saying.
Yeah, the thing is that the first camp that was promised that we could stay on it was a sharecropper, and the white folks said them niggas can't stay on my property. So this black guy had 80 acres of land, 12 miles from Selma. That's where they spent the night.
Right, we did.
His great great granddaughter and his daughter are now putting together a museum on those 80 acres that they wanted to talk about those of us who Martin Luther King called his ground crew. What the work that we had to do every day, that the work that we did in every city that we worked in across this country, and invite young people and their parents and everybody to come through there all of summer months, all year long. We'll have some of us over there talking about the movement.
Well, after we put that
and
together,
all the pictures of the movement and everything that happened, all that's going to be, that's the kind of museum this is going to be.
Well, I tell you what, I know we're meeting in a couple of weeks, and then when we get ready.
Yeah, we're meeting on the 26th.
Yeah, so when we get ready to do it, and when you get ready to break it, all of us, wherever we are, who's still in the movement or not in the movement, we got to make these ministers bring these youth down there.
Got to break it.
Bring the youth.
Well, we're gonna organize this country again. That's what we get ready to do.
I can feel it. I can feel it.
Yeah, we're gonna do it. They're gonna come because we have got to decide that African Americans is gonna be independent.
Yeah.
We have to talk about how important the civil rights movement was.
I'm with you. JT, I'm gonna get
you
back.
We have to talk about it.
I agree with you. I'm with you.
Don't talk about it because they should have been in it and was not in it.
They were
scared. They don't want to talk about it.
They were scared. Their children were scared.
They were scared to get in. They need to say that too. It's all right to say I'm afraid.
Yeah, we're gonna fear out your butt. Throw your butt up in jail.
Yeah, we sure will. The movement is not over. We still got one going.
That's right. Look, I got to go. I want to thank you, but I want to play this song for you on my way. I'll talk of Chicago 1697, 735-9169 in Chicago. The WVON, one of the greatest stations in the city, in the nation. You can get us on iHeartRadio. And if they want to hear your discussion, they can go to my website, Dorothy Tillman, my website, my Facebook, and I will have a click for them to click to be able to listen to your show. JT, I'll be talking to you next week, getting ready to come to Atlanta to join you.
It'll be so good to see you.
And I'm going to play this song on our way out. I'm going to do what the spirits say do. Love you.
All right.
Love you very much.
Love you too, dear.
Okay. I'm gonna do what the spirit say do. That's not the way we sing it, dog. Do what the spirit say do. What is that? Okay, that's I'm gonna walk when the spirit say walk. Walk when the spirit say walk. We singing a little different, JT, but that's it, huh? I'll talk to you later, JT. Thank you so much. Love you. Okay, let JT go. I love you, JT. We're going to slide to my other song. Oh, free. I don't like this song. Okay. Hey. Walk, I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna slide to my other side. Gonna do what the Spirit say do. I'm gonna do what the Spirit say do. I'm gonna do what the Spirit say do. And if the Spirit say do, I'm gonna do, oh Lord, I'm gonna do what the Spirit say do. We was ready to go to jail then. I go to jail if the Spirit say go. Yeah.
Let me hear you tell him now.
I'm gonna do, oh Lord, I'm gonna do.
Don't you know you got a march?
I'm gonna march with the Spirit.
Yeah.
If the Spirit say march, I'm gonna march on
the
Lord. 773-373-1900 to find out about my streaming tonight. 773-373-1900. I'm gonna be streaming at 8 o'clock from Harold, Washington. 773-373-1900 if you wanna know more.
You gotta rock.
Come on now.
You gotta rock now.
You gotta rock
when the spirits say rock.
Yeah. And when the spirits say rock, you gotta rock.
You gotta rock when the spirits
go to jail.
You gotta move when the spirits say
rock. You gotta do what the spirits say do. We were at night marching, y'all singing, getting ready to do it and face some Benny Club, knowing God was with us. You heard us singing them songs? We was getting ready to move. We weren't playing. We was in the spirit. You're at the right till. We call for the conversation. We right here every Saturday from 6 to 8 as we celebrate the great Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. birthday on Monday. I tell you, I enjoyed this. I tell you, moving the spirit and move once again. I'll be streaming. I'll be streaming at 8 o'clock on Monday. Sponsored in part by the Chicago Independent Dean League. Special thank you. Also, to the Chicago League of Voters. If you're watching the coach tonight, I will take in advance and scream it later. All right now. When the spirits say moan, you gotta moan, Lord. You gotta moan with the spirits.
Everybody now. You gotta moan when the spirits
they all moan. All right now. You're at the right field. Next week, I'll see you. Do what the spirits say to y'all. 2023, I'm going to explain reparation to y'all. Got to put it back into perspective.
Love
the spirit of love all the time. Until next week, George, the right field, we'll see you.